Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Resurrection Chronicles. If this is the first episode you're listening to, we really recommend that you go back to the beginning so that you can kind of get the whole picture of where we're at. But today is Monday, Thursday.
Pronounce that again.
Monday, not Monday. Not Monday. Monday.
Is it possible to say that but put some inflection behind?
Monday.
Perfect. Okay. So just to bring us back in context. So we had Palm Sunday.
Yep.
But before Palm Sunday, there was a 40-day there was a 36-day experience of Lent, and the idea was following Jesus during his time of temptation in the desert for 40 days. 40 is a symbol of transforming.
Yep.
So there's a transformative process that happens in the desert, a place that one can only survive if God is present. And then we have Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into the holy city. Mm-hmm. And then we have Holy Monday. Mm-hmm. And that is a day about the cursing of the fig tree and the cleansing of the temple. Yep. Then we have Great Holy Tuesday, and Great Holy Tuesday is the confrontation of the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, and then the Olivetic discourse, where Jesus is predicting his death. Then, of course, we had Spy Wednesday, and that was the betrayal or the intent of the betrayal of Judas. And so that brings us to day, and it's Thursday.
Yep.
And Thursday is all about the Last Supper of Jesus.
Yes. Yep. And in case you're wondering, Monday is Latin for commandment.
Oh.
Because it was at the Last Supper that Jesus gave the commandment to, he said, a new commandment I give you, love others as I have loved you. Mm. Yeah, so this is the last kind of like gathering of Jesus and his disciples before things really get real. Like we talked yesterday, things are getting really dark. There's plots happening behind the scenes that nobody is knowing about. And yeah, so there's this kind of like underlying thing. But what I like about Monday Thursday, it's like it's this reprieve from the political drama, from the Sadducees and the chief priests like seeing red, and Judas kind of selling Jesus' location for 30 pieces of silver. But it's like, let's just have dinner together.
Gather together.
Yep.
Yeah, and so the whole experience kind of begins by the washing of the disciples' feet, right? Like, through it all, Jesus continues to teach. He is a teacher, but in this posture, he is teaching the position of servitude, that he is taking the role of a servant. It could be a prophetic thing that's happening here, but there is something that is being commanded and taught to Jesus, or taught to the disciples from Jesus. He is telling them the future posture that they have to have. Because there's this idea that the servant can't be greater than the master is. In Jewish culture, the master is at the top of the pyramid. A servant cannot be greater than him. So what Jesus does is he sinks all the way down and puts him in the posture of a servant and said, sorry, you can't be greater than this and follow me.
Hmm.
That's awesome.
That's the whole point. The whole point is he is forcing the followers of him that they can never supersede being a servant from this point on.
Yep.
And so then he begins to wash the feet of his disciples.
Yep.
It's often said the posture of Peter that Peter has. I mean, like, he's trying to set things correct, right? Mm-hmm. So it isn't this humble, like, oh, no, Lord, you know, like,
no, let me wash your feet.
It's like, no.
I don't want to be that. Right?
That could definitely be it. There's a lot going on here. Again, the disciples are being taught a ton from Palm Sunday on. You gotta also think that the disciples have been apart from him for a long time. You know, like those types of things. And so it's a pretty cool context. And then after he cleanses the feet of his disciples, they all sit down, or they don't sit down. They all have like these pillows. The table is probably close to the floor and they are all reclining. And this is the point that something very famous happens.
Are you talking about? I can think of a lot of famous things that happen here.
I know. It was kind of an experiment. Okay, right. I wanted to throw a ball at you and see if direction it goes.
Which one do you choose?
The two things that come to mind both involve a cup.
Yes.
The first one that came to mind.
He even says it poetic. They both involve a cup.
First one is where he says, one of you is going to betray me. Yep. And the person that it is the one who dips their hand into this cup. Which, when I was a kid, I was like, well, then shouldn't it be obvious? Like, Judas, this, like, did the disciples not catch that? But, like, everybody's going to dip their hand into this cup. Is that what you were thinking?
Well, there's that, plus there is a cup. But but in that story, I think you're definitely correct. And I often think, again, from a perspectives thing, is it possible that Judas didn't think he was going to betray him?
Oh, yeah.
He did not know it was going to be him.
I don't know. There's that whole go do what you need to do thing that happens too.
But did Judas see it as betrayal?
Sure. Yep.
I can from a heart perspective. He was doing the thing that he thought.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's something in that. I'm just like, are there people out there that think they're serving Jesus, but they're actually betraying him?
Yeah. Okay, this cup is there on the table because it's not just like a normal meal. They're celebrating Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the beginning of the sacrament of communion and the Eucharist gets introduced to the Christian faith, where there's this narrative throughout the Passover dinner where they're remembering the Israelites' escape from Egypt and escaping Pharaoh. Tim Mackey, who's part of the Bible Project, he kind of put the parallel this way. He said Passover is this message of through the lamb, because they sacrifice the lamb and they spread the blood on the doorposts and they get set free. Through the lamb, Yahweh rescues the Israelites from slavery to Pharaoh. And the things that Jesus is saying is he's kind of unveiling a parallel story that's bigger. Through Jesus, Yahweh rescues the world from slavery to sin and death. So he's kind of like saying, it's like this story is a foreshadowing of the bigger story that makes everything complete.
Absolutely. So should I ask the question or give the answer here? So how does the broken bread and the spilt cup tie into any of that?
Well, you should give the answer.
Okay. I actually think it's important. And the thing you said was it gets introduced into Christianity, but it has been age old to the Hebrew people.
Yes.
The bread and the cup are as old as Abraham.
Yep.
And it's a practice that they call Kiddush. Mm-hmm. It is the act of keeping holy, which comes from the word Kiddush. Dosh, that means holy, to keep something holy, to keep it apart, if there is something holy, anything holy, they practice Kiddush before it. It is the cup and it is the bread. It's the thing that separates the Jewish people apart from anything else. And so there's a st- st- story about Abraham and the calling of Abram and the high priest Melchizedek when the covenant had been agreed on that there was bread and there was a cup. And so then this practice of Kaddish began to take place that for every Sabbath that took place, that Kaddish was practiced before it, because Sabbath had been this physical defiance against production that only the Hebrew people practiced. And so it was this defining factor of these are God's children. And Kaddish, it was the thing that began to separate it out. So as the sun goes down on Sabbath, well, then the bread comes up and the cup comes up. Sabbath is about to begin. And from this point on, it will be holy. So in the Ten Commandments, whenever the commandment is that you shall keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy, there's an actual specific thing that was actually happening is you practice Kaddish as the sun is going down. You are keeping it holy and set apart. It isn't a qualifier of the holy day, but it is an action of keeping it holy. There is Kaddish. So every Sabbath, every festival, every feast, there is the bread and there is the cup. And there is this prayer that the head of the household will say over both. They'll break the bread and they'll say, "Blessed are you, O Lord of the universe. Thank you for giving us the grain of the field to eat." And then they break it, and then so their household, they'll ask, "So what is this?" And because they're Jewish, they always ask the questions. Yep. They don't give the answer, right? What is this? And then the people in the household have the ability to answer the question. And because they're Jewish, they're very colorful, they will give different answers, that they will say that this is God separating the light from the dark. This is the two tablets of Torah. This is the grain of Boaz. This is it's those types of, and the more that you understood your history and who God is, the better answers that you are going to get. And then the head of the household will go, "Yes." Like, that's the answer.
Yeah.
It is. And then they pass it around. Because the consumption of it is the acceptance of who they are as children of God and children of Abraham. Because it all goes back there. It keeps it holy. You are separate. We are set apart. Sabbath has begun. And you can be at peace in who you are. And then after that, they will hold up the cup. And it has wine in it. And they'll say the same prayer. "Blessed are you, O Lord of the universe. Thank you for giving us the grapes of the vineyard to drink." And then the head of the household will say, "What is this?" And they will say, like, "It is the parting of the sea that our forefathers crossed through. It is the waters of baptism that we go into the temple. It is the blood on the doorposts." And the more that you understood who you are as a child of God, the better your answers were going to be. And this was the beginning of Sabbath or the festivals or the feast days. It was for them to celebrate truly who they are as children of God, the protected, the sanctified, you can go off on it.
Yep.
So if you think about it, from the time of Abraham, this has happened in every Jewish household for a really, really long time, every Friday.
It's like every week, right?
Yeah, and then if there's a feast, it's every day of the week. Always, like, what is this? What is this? What is this? And so for Jesus and the disciples, the odds are they have been practicing Sabbath, correct? Like, yep. This is a part of their culture. He has probably, see how I do that? Probably. He has probably held the cup and said, blessed are you, Lord of the universe. Thank you for giving us the fruits of the vineyard to drink and breaking the bread. Blessed are you, Lord of the vineyard. And then he probably asks the question, what is this? And the 12 disciples probably have their patent thing that they said during the past, 3 years for every Friday, and they're expecting the answer that they're all going to say, and they expect him to say yes. And so here we are. He just got done teaching them by getting down and saying, I am a servant, and you cannot be greater than I am. And then you can picture the sun going down, and at that time, the bread goes up. And the thing that happens is, it's kind of like in his head, he asks, should I ask the question or should I give the answer?
Yeah.
And so for the first time in Jewish history, the question is not being asked.
Right.
He spells it out because they don't know.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And so he breaks the bread and he blesses it. And how do you bless the bread? It's blessed are you, O Lord of the universe. Thank you for giving us the grains of the field to eat. And then he says, this is my body that was broken for you. And if I am in that space, I have heard every answer of every Jewish person since the time of Abraham. And he goes, I am.
Yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah. And then he's like, take it and eat it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then the same thing with the cup, holds it up. Blessed are you, Lord. This is my blood spilt for the redemption of your sins. And if I'm the disciples, I'm like, the blood on the doorpost, he is.
Yeah.
The parting of the sea, he was the sea who has been separated and torn. Like, all of it, every sacrifice that has bled on the temple, I mean, ugh. It's all wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
And then take it and drink. And then he throws down the trump card at the end. As often as you do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
It's a trump card because before then, they did this. But they did it to remember Abraham. And they did it to remember who they are as children of Abraham. Now he shifted the whole story. Don't do it because you are children of Abraham, but do it because you are children of God, and he has paid the price for you. And that's the story that begins to shift.
That's so cool. So towards the end of these things, we try to kind of like bring it home a little bit and take these things and like kind of internalize it. Like we are the holy city, like talking about like Judas and like the ways that we're constantly betraying Jesus. It's on this day, because it's Maundy Thursday, Commandment Thursday, that there are a lot of faith traditions where the priests or the pastors, they recommit to loving others like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Even if they've made like a lifelong vow, every year, it's on this day that they remember everything you just talked about and Jesus' command, love others like I have loved you, that they say, I commit again. And it's on this day that they bless the oils that they're going to use to anoint the sick and baptize people coming to know Jesus for the first time. And it's on this day that instead of giving a sermon, priests wash the feet of every single one of their congregants to remember what the commandment is. And so for all of us, this takes on new meaning, at least for me and maybe for others too, of like, have I been following Jesus's commandment? And whether I have or I haven't, this is an opportunity to recommit to that or commit to that again. With everything you just laid out, it's like, okay, like you have, I will too.
Well, if you're not in tears, we are. But we hope that you will join us again tomorrow. It's Good Friday tomorrow. So we will see you guys tomorrow.